A giant gold marquee stands under an indigo sky. In gold letters, 20th Century Fox. Spotlights scroll the sky. Words appear. A News Corporation company. On a black background, words appear. A Gordon Company Silver Pictures production. Dust clouds drift from the tires. A John McTiernan film. Inside the plane, a man's hand tightly grips an armrest. Bruce Willis. A passenger, tie undone, looks down to the man's hand.
You don't like flying, do you?
What gives you that idea?
You want to know the secret to surviving air travel? After you get where you're going, take off your shoes and your socks. Then you walk around on the rug barefoot and make fists with your toes.
Fists with your toes?
I know. It sounds crazy. Trust me. I've been doing it for 9 years. Yes, sir. Better than a shower and a hot cup of coffee.
Okay.
The man stands and opens the overhead compartment. His jacket opens, revealing a holstered gun on his right side. The passenger stares at it.
It's okay, I'm a cop.
The passenger nods his head slightly.
Trust me, I've been doing this for 11 years.
He pulls out a giant stuffed bear. A stewardess smiles at him and leaves.
Los Angeles, have a very Merry Christmas.
At a baggage carousel. Die Hard. The man enters carrying the bear. He lights a cigarette. Alan Rickman. In an office, a middle-aged Asian man adjusts his silver suit.
How do you do?
Alexander Gudinov. Bonnie Bedelia. The Asian man walks by some musicians to a balcony overlooking a courtyard. Reginald Vell Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to congratulate each and every one of you for making this one of the greatest years in the history of the Nakatomi Corporation. On behalf of the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ozu, and the Board of Directors, we thank you one and all and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
William Atherton, in a hallway.
Hey, Holly. What about dinner tonight, huh?
Harry, it's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings.
Paul Gleason, Hart Bochner.
Chestnuts.
James Shigeta.
Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell?
Actually, I was thinking more of mulled wine and ice age brie. And a roaring fireplace. You know what I'm saying?
Bruno Doyen, Andreas Wisniewski.
Ginny, it's 5:40. Go join the party. Have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Thanks a lot, Miss De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip?
That baby's ready to tend bar.
Last chance.
Bye.
Clarence Gilliard Jr., Devereaux White. In a house, two kids play on a hardwood floor.
Lucy McLean speaking.
Hello, Lucy McLean. This is your mother speaking.
Mommy, when are you coming home?
Pretty soon. You'll be in bed when I get there, though. Let me talk to Paulina, okay, hon? And no snooping around the house looking for presents.
Is Daddy coming home with you?
Well, we'll see what Santa and Mommy can do, okay? Put Paulina on. Bye, honey.
Paulina!
On Holly's desk is a family portrait with the man at the airport.
Hola, Mrs. Holly.
Did Mr. McLean call?
No, Mrs. Holly. No telefono.
Well, he probably just didn't have time before his flight. It might be a good idea to make up the spare bedroom just in case.
See, Mrs. Holly, I do that already.
What would I do without you, Paulina?
she slams the portrait face down. At the airport, music by Michael Kamen, casting by Jackie Birch, costume designer Marilyn Vance Straker. The man walks through a crowd and sees a young blonde woman in white spandex jump into a man's arms.
California.
Visual effects produced by Richard Edlund. A young black man holds a sign reading J. McClain.
Hey, I'm John McClain.
Our guy. I'm your limo driver. Nice beer.
Okay. Argyle, what do we do now?
I was hoping you could tell me. It's my first time driving a limo.
It's okay. It's my first time riding in one.
Relax. We got everything in this mug, man. Look at this. CD, CB, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS. If your friends have to trot, you know a few mama bears we can hook up with. Or is he married?
He's married.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that. It's the girl's day off. I didn't know you were gonna sit up front. So, your lady live out here?
About the past 6 months.
Meaning you still live in New York?
You always ask too many questions, Argyle.
Sorry, man. I used to drive a cab, and people would expect a little chit-chat. So, you divorced?
Just drive the car, man.
Hey, come on, you divorced? You separated? She beat you up?
She had a good job. Turned into a great career.
Now that meant she had to move here.
You're very fast, Argyle.
So why didn't you come?
Because I'm a New York cop. So can't just pick up and go that easy.
In other words, you thought she wasn't gonna make it out here, and she'd come crawling up back to you. So why bother to pack, right?
Like I said, you're very fast, Argyle.
You mind if we hear some tunes? Hey, that'll work.
You got any Christmas music?
Is Christmas music.
The limo drives to the Nakatomi Plaza before the setting sun. Film editors Frank J. Uriosti and John F. Link. Director of photography Jan DeBon. Executive producer Charles Gordon. Based on a novel by Roderick Thorpe. Screenplay by Jeb Stewart and Stephen E. D'Souza. Produced by Lawrence Gordon and Joel Silver. The limo pulls up to the front door.
Lady sees you, you run into each other's arms, the music comes up, and you live happily ever after, right?
I can live with that.
So if it doesn't work out, man, you got a place to stay?
I'll find a place.
I tell you what,
I'm gonna pull in the parking garage and I'll wait. You score, you give me a call on the car phone. I'll take your bags to the desk. You strike out, I'll get you a hotel.
You're all right, Argyle.
Just remember that when you sign for the tip.
John walks into a large lobby. A 12-foot Christmas tree stands unlit. John walks to a man in a gray blazer at a lobby desk.
Hi.
Good evening.
I'm here to see Holly McClain.
Just type it in there.
John touches a monitor. An alphabet appears.
Cute toy.
Yeah. You'd have to take a leak. It'll even help you find your zipper.
John looks through last names beginning with M. He exits and touches G. He looks away. Then presses Holly Gennaro.
30th floor.
The party. They're the only ones left in the building. Take the express elevator. Get off where you hear the noise.
Thanks.
John looks up to see security cameras. Around a corner, he sees a mustached man in a gray blazer cleaning his nails. In the parking garage, Argyle parks the limo next to a large grated opening. John, in jacket and flannel shirt, enters the party. He sifts through people in business and evening wear. He sips a red drink. His face curdles. He hands it to a passing waiter. Hugs and kisses John on the cheek. Wiping his cheek, John watches the man leave.
California.
John spies the Asian man and walks up to him.
Hi. Looking for...
Hello, Gennaro. Yeah. Then you must be John McClane. Joe Takagi.
Hi.
How was the ride in?
Nice. I have you to thank for that?
Seemed the least we could do.
It's quite a place you have here.
It will be if we ever get it finished. Still, server floor's under construction. Holly went to the vault room to fax some documents. She should be back any minute. In the meanwhile, her office is right back here. Ellis.
I was just making a call. This is the nurse phone.
I want you to meet John McClane. Holly's husband. Holly's policeman. Ellis is in charge of international development.
Heard a heck of a lot about you. Missed something.
Ellis pinches his nose.
Can I get you anything? Food? Cake? Some watered down champagne?
No, thank you. I'm fine. You throw quite a party. I didn't realize they celebrated Christmas in Japan.
We're flexible. Pearl Harbor didn't work out, so we got you with tape decks.
Actually, it's sort of a double celebration. We closed a pretty big deal today, and a lot of it was due to Holly. Am I right, JoJo?
John and Holly gaze at each other.
John. Have you met everyone?
We've been sticking with Spears. Of course he has. She was made for the business. Tough as nails.
I was hoping you made that flight.
Show him the watch.
Later.
Well, go on, show him. What are you, embarrassed? It's just a small token of appreciation for all her hard work. It's a Rolex.
I'm sure I'll see you later. Is there a place where I could wash up?
Sure.
A large black truck turns a corner. In an executive office.
I have to forgive Ellis. He gets very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
I know the type. He's got his eye on you.
It's okay, I have my eye on his private bathroom. Where are you staying? Things happened so fast, I didn't get a chance to ask you on the phone.
Cappy Roberts retired out here.
Oh, yeah?
Tell me I could bunk in with him.
Cappy retired, huh? Where does he live?
Ramona.
I could be in the car half the time. Why don't we make it easy? I have a spare bedroom. I mean, it's not huge or anything, but kids would love to have you at the house.
They would, huh?
I would, too. Sorry. I missed you.
I guess you didn't miss my name, though, huh? Except maybe when you're signing checks. Since when did you start using Ms. Gennaro?
It's a Japanese company. They figure a married woman's got
You are a married woman, Holly. You're married to me.
Are we going
to
have this conversation again? We did this in July.
We never finished this conversation in July.
I had an opportunity. I had to take it.
Right. No matter what the consequences, no matter what it did to our marriage, you had to take
this opportunity. It didn't do anything to our marriage except maybe change your idea of what our marriage should be.
I think you have a clue as to what my idea of our marriage should be.
I know exactly what your idea of our marriage should be.
Ms. Gennaro, I... Excuse me. Mr. Takagi is looking for you. He wants you to say something to the troops.
Thank you. Speech time. Be back in a few minutes.
John bangs his head on a door jamb.
That's great, John. Good job. Very mature.
Outside, the black truck is signaling to turn right. A gray sedan cuts in front of it, onto Nakatomi Plaza. The truck takes a ramp down to the garage as the car drives on. At the lobby desk, the man in gray blazer watches the car pull up on a monitor. Two men get out. One is black and wears glasses. The other is tall with long blonde hair. In the garage, a man's face is reflected in the truck's side view mirror. In the lobby, the two men enter.
So Kareem rebounds, right? Feeds Worthy on the break, over to AC, to Magic, then back to Worthy, right? Boom! 2 points.
The black man hops over the desk, kicking the corpse aside.
We're in.
In the garage, the truck backs up into a platform. In the lobby, the black man walks to a computer. The blonde man pauses at the corner, holding a silenced Walther PPK and a black object. The mustached man in gray blazer watches a black puck roll out. The blonde man shoots him twice in the chest, in the garage. The truck's door opens. A dozen men exit carrying bags. They walk through a cargo hold, led by a goateed brown-haired man in a gray overcoat. At the computer, the monitor reads elevators, low rise, high rise, lockout from lobby to 29, grated metal gates lower, blocking the garage's entrances and exits, escalators halt. The Nakatomi building at night. An elevator opens. A man in white shirt and gray vest leaves with the goateed man. In the lobby, the black man whips cords beneath the computer and kicks a processor. The man in the gray vest takes the matching blazer off the dead guard and puts it on. The goateed man stands at the front door. He scans the plaza, then locks the door. He tosses the card key to the man in gray. The black man picks up a bag and walks to the elevators, followed by the goateed man. A man with short blonde hair and glasses with a handsaw opens panels labeled "For Pacific Bell Employees Only." He pulls out bundled wires. In the office, John's bare feet stretch.
Fists with your toes.
John opens his wallet. The backside of the family portrait reads, "We love you, Daddy, Lucy and John." At the phone panels, wires are connected to a device in a metal case. In the office.
Yeah, Argyle.
All right, where are you?
I'm kicking it down to the garage. What's the word with you and your lady, man?
The vote's not in yet.
At the phone panels, the long-haired man cuts piping running up from the panels. Numbers fill the device's display.
Argyle?
Back, dear. Hello?
In the elevator, the gathered men pull out MP5 machine guns from their bags. The elevator reaches the 30th floor. The men file out into the courtyard. John grabs his gun and cracks open the door. He sees a man in a leather jacket with an MP5. Grab people out of offices. They are herded to the courtyard. John sees an exit sign glowing. In a stairwell, John dashes up to the 31st floor. He opens the door to see armed men pushing wheeled cases. He closes the door and continues upstairs. In the courtyard,
stay calm. Everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be fine.
John enters an unfinished floor. He checks to his left and to his right, then walks through metal wall frames. Through the window, he watches a woman in her apartment on the phone. In the courtyard, the goateed man closes a book and raises his hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the Nakatomi Corporation's legacy of greed around the globe, they are about to be taught a lesson in the real use of power. You will be witnesses. Now, where is Mr. Takagi?
Holly grabs Takagi's arm.
Joseph Yoshinobu Takagi.
The goateed man searches the crowd.
Born Kyoto, 1937. Family emigrated to San Pedro, California, 1939.
An Asian man with glasses lowers his gaze.
Interned Manzanar, 1942-43. Scholarship student, University of California, 1955.
Ellis grins and steps back.
Law degree, Stanford, 1962. MBA, Harvard, 1970. President Nakatomi Trading, Vice Chairman Nakatomi Investment Group.
Enough.
The goateed man faces Takagi.
And father of five. I am Takagi. How do you do? It's a pleasure to meet you.
The long-haired man takes Takagi away. John looks into a room filled with computers. He closes the door and continues up.
32 construction, 33 computers.
In an elevator.
Nice suit. John Phillips, London.
Takagi looks to him.
I have two myself.
Rumor has it, Arafat buys his there.
John sees armed men push crates. The crate reads guided missiles. John closes a door and leaves the 35th floor. In a showroom, the goateed man walks by displays and models.
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. Benefits of a classical education. Oh, that's beautiful. I always enjoyed to make models when I was a boy. The exactness, the attention to every conceivable detail. It's beautiful.
Is this what this is all about? Our project in Indonesia? Contrary to what you people may think, you're going to develop that region.
John slowly closes the stairwell door, looking in.
I read the article in Forbes. Mr. Takagi. I could talk about industrialization and men's fashions all day, but I'm afraid work must intrude, and my associate here has some questions for you. Sort of fill-in-the-blanks questions, actually.
In a boardroom, on a monitor, CEO workstation, authorization, ultra-gate key, daily cipher, carrots blink.
I don't have that code. You broke in here to access our computer? Any information you could get when they wake up in Tokyo in the morning, they'll change it. You won't be able to blackmail our executives, threaten our profits.
Sit down. Mr. Takagi, I'm really not interested in your computer. But I need the code key. Because I am interested in the $640 million in negotiable bearer bonds that you have locked in your vault. And the computer controls the vault.
You want money? What kind of terrorists are you?
Who said we were terrorists?
John crawls under the Indonesian project model. He sees Takagi's silver suit through the boardroom's clear doors.
The bonds represent at most 10 days operating capital for your parent organization. No more than temporary
income. The goateed man unscrews a silencer from his gun.
The code, please.
It's useless to you. There are 7 safeguards on our vault, and the code key is only one of them. You'll never get it open.
Then there's no reason not to tell it to us.
I told you.
It's a very nice suit, Mr. Takagi. To be ashamed to ruin it. I'm going to count to 3. There will not be. Give me the code. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know it. I'm telling you. Get on the jet to Tokyo and ask the chairman. I'm telling you, you're just going to have to kill me.
Okay. We do it the hard way. Tony, see if you can dispose of that. Carl, you better go and check on Heinrich's work up on the machine floor.
John bumps the model and flees. The long-haired Carl and the man in glasses run out into the showroom. They check the room and open doors. Carl walks to an opaque door. On the other side, John, gun drawn, sees Carl try to open it. The goateed man enters the showroom.
See behind her.
Theo stands behind the goateed man.
Now, you can break the code.
He didn't bring me along for my charming personality.
The goateed man smiles. John rests his head on his gun.
Argyle, tell me you heard the shots. You're calling the police right now.
Of course I'm still coming by later. Sweetheart, have I ever lied to you?
Woody, get up on the pipes!
On the machine floor.
Marco, you go through here. I'm throwing the cord. Hans, you're on the roof.
A blonde, wavy-haired man measures and cuts a length of yellow cord.
Yep.
The blonde-haired man throws the cord between two gigantic cooling units to the dark-haired Marco. He tosses it to an Asian man, Yuri, along with some plastique, which is applied to the ceiling.
30 minutes to break the code. 2 hours, 2.5 hours for the 5 mechanicals at the minimum. The 7th lock, however, is out of my hands.
The goateed man watches a section of wall in Takagi's office open to reveal a polished cylindrical metal wall. A keypad and display are set next to it.
I'm sorry.
The 7th lock, the electromagnetic seal. You do understand the circuits cannot be cut locally.
Trust me.
On the unfinished floor, John looks up to see a sprinkler. Looking down, he sees a fire alarm. In the lobby, red lights blink next to number 32.
We've got a fire alarm.
Call 911. Give them the guard's name, the building code number, and cancel the alarm. Then disable the system. Eddie, on what floor did the alarm go?
In the machine room.
Matt, should we call? 9.
In the lobby, Eddie dials 911 on a portable phone. From a window, fire trucks drive toward Nakatomi Plaza. John runs over to the window.
Oh, baby, come to Papa, come on. Baby, come to Papa.
John looks over his shoulder. Tony walks in with a duffel bag and MP5. He stops and flicks light switches. John crouches behind stacked pallets. Tony walks toward them.
The fire has been called off, my friend. No one is coming to help you. You might as well come out and join the others. I promise I won't hurt you.
He takes off, passing partially built walls and more metal wall frames. He comes around a corner to see a power saw running down.
Drop it. It's the police.
You won't hurt me.
Oh, yeah? Why not?
Because you're a policeman. There are rules for policemen.
So my captain keeps telling me.
John elbows Tony, knocking his glasses off. He backs John into a wall. He spins around with John hanging on his back. John knocks the gun away. Tony shoulders John through a wall, metal wall frames, and the stairwell door. They fall down the stairs. John lands on Tony's head. John sits against the wall. He rolls Tony's body over. He grabs Tony's head, then lets it go. In Takagi's office, a screen shows the name Akagi translated into Red Castle. The display reads, Access code accepted. Lock number one disabled. Do you wish to proceed? Theo covers his glasses with goggles and activates an industrial drill. In the stairwell, John goes through Tony's bag. He retrieves two banana MP5 magazines, a handheld CB, and a lighter. He pats down the corpse. John finds Tony's wallet with a California ID. In an elevator, Tony sits in a chair barefooted. John tries on a black shoe.
9 million terrorists in the world, and I gotta kill one with feet smaller than my sister.
He kicks the shoe out. Looking over some plastic Santas, John smirks. He presses 31 and 30. He flips the emergency stop, then opens the elevator doors. The number 32 is level with John's waist. Using a pole, he springs the doors on 32 open. He wedges a screwdriver in one and climbs up. He reaches back and undoes the emergency stop. In the courtyard.
I wanted this to be professional. Efficient, adult, cooperative, not a lot to ask. Alas, your Mr. Takagi did not see it that way, so he won't be joining us for the rest of his life. We can go anywhere you want us. You can walk out of here or be carried out. But have no illusions. We are in charge. So, decide now, each of you. And please remember, we have left nothing to chance.
Tony sits on a chair wearing a Santa hat and red writing on his sweatshirt.
Get them back! Lock them out!
Holly and Ellis peer through people. Holly quickly looks down and away.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
A security guard we missed?
I'm usually tired of policemen growing fat on a pension. No. This is something else.
Was habe ich dir gesagt? Was habe ich dir gesagt? Ich will, dass es keiner sieht.
Haltet sie zurück.
John spies through the elevator ceiling vent.
We have to do something, Hans.
Yes, we do. We have to tell Carl his brother is dead. Tell him to come down.
Carl, come sofort.
Franco, you and Fritz, take the body upstairs and out of sight. I don't want the hostages to think too much.
Come sofort, schnell.
John looks to the other elevator a few floors up. He sees shadows pass through. He watches the elevator speed down. Looking up, he sees his elevator racing to the top. He ducks just under the ceiling. John climbs out and walks to an access door. He comes to a ladder, slings his MP5 over his shoulder, and climbs down. In Holly's office.
I want blood!
You'll have it! But let Heinrich plant the detonators and Theo prepare the vault. After we call the police, they'll waste hours trying to negotiate, and then you can tear the building apart looking for this man. But until then, we do not alter the plan.
And if he alters it,
Hans raises an eyebrow and backs away.
What do you think?
Something's wrong.
Cops?
John.
Now, what does he think he's doing?
His job.
His job's 3,000 miles away. Without him, we still have a chance we might be able to get out of here.
Tell that to Dick Coggy.
John runs upstairs in a two-story room. He enters a narrow stairway and exits onto a helicopter pad above the main roof.
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9?
Terrorists have seized the Nakatomi building and are holding at least 30 people hostage. I repeat, unknown number of terrorists,
six or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza,
Century City.
That's the best place to transmit. The roof. Go, go!
Carl catches a bag thrown to him and leaves.
It's the same address as that fire signal.
I'll handle it.
Attention, whoever you are. This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
In an elevator, Carl pulls out an AUG machine gun. He slides the barrel in and locks it down. A man smokes a cigarette while another takes off his leather jacket.
No one kills him but me.
They have already killed one hostage. They are fortifying their positions. I'll send the police.
Sir, I've already told you. This is a reserve channel. If this is an emergency call, dial 911 on your telephone. Otherwise, I'll have to report this as an FCC violation.
Fine, arrest me. Just send the police now.
John slides down off a slanted roof and lands on the main roof's rail.
See if there's a black and white that can do a drive-by.
In a convenience store, a stout black cop piles Twinkies in his arms.
Thought you guys just ate donuts.
They're for my wife. Yeah. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
Bag it.
Big time.
Thanks.
Dispatch to 8 Lincoln 30, over.
This is 8 Lincoln 30. Come on in, over.
Investigate a code 2 at Nakatomi Plaza, Century City.
8 Lincoln 30 to dispatch. I'm on my way.
He throws the bag in his car and walks to the street. Looking up at Nakatomi, he sees bright flashes flicker on the roof. The two men push John along the roof edge with strafing fire. Carl stalks across the helicopter pad, gun pointing up. Rounds a corner. Carl aims and fires. John hides behind a metal shed. He reloads and fires at a door underneath the pad. He jumps a rail and rushes through the door. He closes it and runs down a path to a large fan. Outside, Carl jerks his thumb. One of the men rushes away. Carl regrips his gun and points to the door. The man who left rushes down the stairs in the two-story room. At the fan, John's MP5 is wedged against the blade. John slowly slides his body through. Lying down, Carl's partner fires. John pulls his gun out. The fan spins rapidly, deflecting bullets. John climbs down a ladder to a platform. Carl and his partner run back outside. John goes back through the access door to the elevator shafts. Both elevators are several floors down. Carl and his partner run down the two-story stairs. John walks to a 4-foot grate and knocks it out with his gun. John watches it fall and waits. John pulls off the gun strap. Outside the access door.
Joanna, I have a machine gun here.
Haben Sie ihn gefunden?
Carl ist mit mir. Wir sind im Heizhaus unter dem Dach.
Nein.
Im Heizhaus unter dem Dach.
Wo ist Carl?
He's in the elevator, Schatz. Hast du das gehört?
Perfekt. The elevators are locked off. You can't escape. Just shut him in and come back down.
John leans out the opening, feet first. He grabs the MP5.
Carl, the police are probably on their way already. Carl.
The gun is braced across the opening. The gun's shoulder rest is extended beyond the opening's width. John slowly lowers himself by the gun strap tied around the shoulder rest.
I can stall them, but not if they hear gunshots. If you lock him in, he'll be neutralized.
Carl turns off the radio. The strap buckle begins to bend. John reaches toward an open duct. Below him and to his right, the gun shifts as the strap begins to loosen. Carl enters the elevator shaft. John regrips the strap. Carl slowly walks by elevator cable. He looks down a shaft. John continues to reach out. The strap breaks free. John falls, grabbing an open duct with his hands. Carl looks up. John pulls himself up. The black cop pulls into Nakatomi Plaza. A man with a ponytail and leather jacket watches from the roof. Covered in dirt, John drops from the duct. He opens the boardroom's blood-smeared door, walks past the stained carpet, and to the window.
It's about time.
Eddie?
I had a feeling you'd be calling.
John watches the cop get out and walk to the door.
Evening, officer. What can I do for you?
On a floor filled with boxes, Carl and his partners run to a window.
Wie viele sind es?
Nur ein Mann.
Alex hat einen nervösen Zeigefinger.
We had that false alarm, you know. They asked me, that damn computer sent you out on another wild goose chase. They've been chasing bugs in this system ever since they installed it.
Notre Dame on top of USC.
In the boardroom.
Come on, where's the cavalry?
John grabs a chair and swings at the window. The man on the roof spies him. In the machine room.
You don't mind if I take a look around, do you?
Nah, help yourself.
The cop walks down the hall. In the boardroom, Marco runs in armed.
Freeze! Drop it! Put that gun down!
Put the gun down!
Okay!
Put it down!
Shut down!
The wavy-haired man runs up behind Marco. John shoots him several times. Marco jumps onto the boardroom table. John ducks underneath it, crawling away. In the lobby, the cop looks around, then stops.
Oh, the hell with this.
in the boardroom.
You are done. No more table. Where are you going, pal? Next time you have a chance to kill someone, don't hesitate.
John fires through the table, cutting Marco down.
Thanks for the advice.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
John runs to the cracked window.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Dum-da-dum, delightful.
He watches the cop walk back to his car.
For the love...
John looks into the room, and then to the window.
But nobody has no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Marco's body falls through the windshield. A machine gun fires through a window at the reversing car.
Welcome to the party, pal!
The car runs over a lawn. In the garage... Argyle is on the phone, smiling. Behind him, the police car jumps a walkway.
Police with automatic rifle fire at Nakatomi! Are you back on assistance now?
The car runs through a gate and stops, leaning against a wall. The cop gets out, bleeding from his head. A red-haired man talks on a phone next to a CB.
Monica, I can get us a table. Wolfgang and I are very close friends. I interviewed him, for God's sake. 2000 Block
Avenue, the Star. Repeat, officer needs assistance.
I'm in Nakatomi Plaza. They're turning my car into Swiss cheese. I need backup assistance now!
Police cars barricade all the streets surrounding Nakatomi.
Thought I'd love to hear that sound.
All of you relax. This is a matter of inconvenient timing, that's all. Police action was inevitable. And as it happens, necessary. So let them fumble about outside and stay calm. This is simply the beginning. I thought I told all of you I want radio silence until further...
Sorry, Hans. I didn't get that message.
Maybe you should have put it on the bulletin board.
Waxed Tony and Marco and his friend here. I figured you and Carl and Franco might be a little lonely, so I wanted to give you a call.
How does he know so much about this?
This is very kind of you. I assume you are a mysterious party crasher. You are most troublesome for a security guard.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
You like to go for double jeopardy where the scores can really change?
John grabs a pack of cigarettes from the wavy-haired man's body.
These are very bad for you.
Who are you, then?
Just a fly in the ointment, Hans. The monkey in the wrench.
John finds a brick of C4.
Whoa. Check on all the others. Don't use the radio. See if he's lying about Marco and find out if anyone else is missing.
John grabs the wavy-haired man's bag and leaves.
Mr. Guest. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Unless you want to open a front door for me.
No, I'm afraid not. But you have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne. Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequin shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
At a news studio.
I can get the jump on everybody if I get
Sam,
a remote.
I don't have the new pages. Where's the
Harvey, keep report? Your pants on, will you?
Sam, look, I'm begging you.
Simon's already had a remote thing without seeing a sing-along. I'll tell him to swing by or something.
I'm not sitting on this.
I don't want to hear it.
This is my story. I
can't
am
hear
going
you.
Out there. Sam, all right, look.
Sam, I tell you what. You don't want to give me a truck? I'll go and I'll steal a truck.
Hey, give us a break, Thornburg.
Eat it, Harvey.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Harvey, we're on the air.
Good evening. This is Harvey Johnson.
And I'm Gail Wallens, and this is Nightline News at 10. Our top stories on this Christmas Eve, the high tides...
Take truck number five and get out of here.
Live for a mini-cam report to Malibu.
At the courtyard, Carl and his partners run into Holly's office.
He wasn't lying about Marco. He's down on the street. And the other man was Heinrich. And his bag is missing.
He had to detonate it.
Here.
Yo!
May have some problems. How's your schedule?
Three down, four to go.
Then don't waste time talking to me.
This is Sergeant Al Powell of the Los Angeles Police Department. If the person who radioed for help can hear me on this channel, acknowledge this transmission.
I read you, pal. You the guy in the car?
What's left of him? Can you identify yourself?
Not now. Maybe later. Listen fast. This is a party line. The neighbor's got itchy trigger fingers. All right, here's the deal. You got 30 or so hostages on the 30th floor.
The leader's here. His name's Hans.
We have to find him and shut him up. He's telling them everything.
Let him. I'm waiting for the FBI to arrive. Until then, he can waste as much time as he likes. But we must find the bag, Fritz. Go help Uli.
You're freaking arsehole.
We must have the detonators.
They got missiles, automatic weapons, and enough plastic explosives to orbit Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're down to nine now, counting the skydiver you met. These guys are mostly European, judging by their clothing labels, and... cigarettes. They're well-financed and very slick.
Well, now, how do you know that?
I've seen enough phony IDs in my time
to recognize that the ones they got must have cost a fortune.
I hear you, partner. LA's finest are on it. So light him if you got him.
Way ahead of you, partner.
So what do I call you?
Call me... Roy.
Well, listen up, Roy. If you think of anything else you think we need to know to be shy, okay? In the meantime, I want you to find a safe place to hold up and let us do our job. Understand?
Theo turns the drill back on. The display reads, locks 1-3 disabled, locks 4-6 engaged. Outside, a dark sedan rumbles in.
All right, who's talking, Kong?
I am, sir. Sergeant Powell, Al Powell.
Dwayne Robinson, Powell, what's the deal here? What are these nuts want?
Well, if you mean the terrorists, sir, we don't exactly know. We haven't heard a peep from them.
Well, who in the hell have you been talking to?
We don't know that either, sir. He won't give us his name. But he appears to be the one who phoned in the report. He's killed one terrorist for sure, and he claims he's capped off two others.
He claims? Powell, has it occurred to you he could be one of the terrorists pulling your chain? Or some nutcase in there?
I don't think so, sir. In fact, I think he's a cop. Maybe not LAPD, but he's definitely a badge.
How do you know that?
A hunch. Things he said. Like being able to spot a phony ID.
TV's here.
A TV van drives on a medium. In Holly's office, a portable TV is set up. Holly is escorted in.
I have a request.
What idiot put you in charge?
You did. When you murdered my boss. Now everybody's looking to me. Personally, I pass on the job. I don't enjoy being this close to you.
Go on.
We have a pregnant woman out there. Relax, she's not due for a couple of weeks, but sitting on that rock isn't doing her back any good. So I would like permission to move her to one of the offices where there's a sofa.
No, but I'll have a sofa brought out to you. Good enough?
Good enough. And unless you like it messy, I'd start bringing us in groups to the bathroom.
Yes, you're right. It will be done.
Holly stares at the upset portrait.
Was there something else?
No, thank you.
She walks away. Hans looks to the portrait.
Mr. Takagi chose his people well, Mrs.
Gennaro. Miss Gennaro.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
This is Richard Thornburg, live from Century City. Tonight, Los Angeles has joined the sad and worldwide fraternity of cities whose only membership requirement is to suffer the anguish of international terrorism.
In the limo.
Approximately 2 hours ago, an unidentified group of men seized control of the Nakatomi building, sealing off all entrances and exits. All telephone lines have been cut. And the only communication now possible has been through the use of CB communicators, which the group apparently brought with them.
Hey, guys, this is what we got. We got Charlie Unit in position by the parking structure. We're going to send them in through the parking structure.
Does this stairway go up to the escalator?
Yeah, that's where they're going.
Yeah,
they're going
to
go through the lobby up there and try and draw some.
What's going on?
What's it look like? We're going in.
We're ready for you, Chief.
All right, light them up. Let's go.
All right, hit your lights.
Spotlights bathe John's floor. He looks around, then stands and looks out the window.
Pal. Al, you still with me, babe? What's going on? Yo, Al.
I'm here, Roy, but I'm kind of busy right now. I'll talk to you later.
Al, what's wrong? What's going on?
I said I'll talk to you later, Roy. If you are what I think you are, then you'll know when to listen, when to shut up, and when to pray.
You're coming in, that's it, isn't it? I told you what kind of people you're dealing with here.
All right, let's load them up.
Blue, go.
Hans stands at his window.
So, they'll be coming. Everyone get ready.
Theo, you are the eyes now.
In the lobby, Eddie walks down the hallway. He turns a key. Barricades lower, cutting off the front lobby. Four men in dark bodysuits advance. John runs around and through computer banks to another window. In the garage, Argyle speeds down a ramp to find the exit blocked. Outside, more men in bodysuits file toward the plaza. They climb up a hill and through roses. In the lobby, Eddie catches magazines from Yuli, who sets up behind a snack bar. He stacks a half dozen magazines on the bar and stares out. He looks down and up twice, then around before reaching for a candy bar. In the garage, Argyle puts the limo in park. Head in hand, he leans against the window. At a monitor.
All right, listen up, guys.
Theo talks into a headset.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four coming in the rear in standard. 2x2 cover formation.
He sees the team at the front door. He raises his arm and clenches his fist.
They're shooting at him.
It's panic fire. They can't see anything.
They're shooting at the light. They're going after the lights. Call them back.
It's not happening. Mike, burn it.
Don't be impatient.
Just wound them.
Get them back. They're sitting ducks up there.
No, they're almost in.
Get them back.
Almost in. Send in the car.
An armored car lumbers up. Cop cars move to let it by. At the front door, sparks fly from the blowtorch. Yuli takes aim and fires. Eddie rolls around and shoots.
Rivers, Rodriguez, report.
Whoa, wait a minute. What are we here, gentlemen?
the police have themselves an RV.
The armored car drives past parked cars and spotlights.
Southeast corner.
Two men load crates labeled rocket ammunition in an elevator. John turns from the window to see the elevator go down. The armored car lumbers on.
I don't care! Get back!
Get over there! Schnell, schnell! Mach schnell!
Lass liegen! Weiter, weiter, weiter! Mach schnell!
Oh, lass
schnell! Weiter! Halt hier!
A crate falls off the dolly. The man with the ponytail sets up a large metal tripod. The other man cocks a nail gun. A barrel-weaving launcher is attached. The man in the ponytail pulls out a rocket.
Ah, I see him!
The armored car drives over an island. Gets stuck going upstairs to the building.
Oh my God, the quarterback is toast.
All right. Car, let's go.
Hang on, Rivers, that's an order.
Hit it again.
You made your point, let him pull back.
Thank you, Mr. Cowboy. I'll take it under advisement.
Hit it again.
John looks to the elevator. He grabs a wheeled office chair. He breaks a fire axe free and swings it at the elevator door.
Fire.
John pushes the door open, wedges the fire axe, and looks down the empty shaft.
Let's go! Get him out of the car!
Don't you know they're burning? We're gonna
get you! John pushes metal keys into the C4 brick.
Oh, let's Andre! I have Schnell here, McClure!
The man with the ponytail opens a crate, finding smaller rockets, then stands up. John grabs a computer monitor.
This under advisement, jerkweed.
He dumps the C4 on the chair and wraps the power cord around it. The man in a ponytail kneels by the dropped crate. John tosses the chair down the shaft. The man is knocked down. The first few stories' windows are knocked out. John looks down the shaft. Fire roars up. He's thrown back from the door. In Holly's office...
They're using artillery on us.
You idiot. It's not the police. It's him.
Outside, smoke billows 4 stories high.
Tell me you got that.
I got it.
Hit your heart on Channel 5.
We've had an update on the terrorist takeover of the Nakatomi building. Sources say the terrorist leader Hans, maybe this man Hans Gruber, a member of the radical West German Volksfrei movement. Strangely, the Volksfrei leadership issued a communique an hour ago stating that Gruber had been expelled from that organization.
Al, do you copy?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What was that?
Remember that plastic explosive I told you about?
Yeah.
There you go.
Our spotter said you got 2 with that blast.
Yeah, thanks, partner.
In the courtyard.
What are you doing?
I'm tired of sitting here waiting to see who gets us killed first, them or your husband.
What are you going to do?
Hey, babe, I negotiate $1 million deals for breakfast. I think I can handle this Euro trash.
Hey, frequency talk, huh?
If you listened to me, he would be neutralized already.
I don't want neutral. I want dead.
Hope I'm not interrupting.
What does he want?
It's not what I want. It's what I can give you.
Carl and Hans look at each other. Carl reaches for his gun. Hans shakes his head.
Look, let's be straight, okay? Business is business. You use a gun, I use a fountain pen. What's the difference? Let's put it in my terms. You're here in a hostile takeover. You grab us for some green mail, but you didn't expect some poison pill was going to be running around in the building. Am I right? Hans. Bobby. I'm your white knight.
I must have missed 60 minutes. What are you saying?
The guy upstairs.
Ella slinks into a chair.
I can give him to you.
Outside.
Oh, God.
Roy. Roy, you all right?
Just trying to fire down a 1,000-year-old Twinkie. What do they put in these things anyway?
Sugar-enriched flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, polysorbate 60, and
yellow dye number 5. Just everything a growing boy needs.
How many kids you got, Al?
Well, as a matter of fact, my wife is working on our first.
How about you, cowboy? You got any kids back on your ranch?
Yeah. 2. Sure hope I can see him swinging on a jungle gym with Al Jr. someday.
Well, now that's a date. But you're going to have to bring the ice cream.
Touching, cowboy, touching. Or should I call you Mr. McLean? Mr. Officer John McLean of the New York Police Department.
Get on the phone to Harry in here. Come on, baby, move.
Got it.
So you better get hold of somebody at dispatch.
If someone wants to talk to you, a very special friend who was with you at the party tonight.
John closes his eyes.
Hey, John boy.
Ellis?
Yeah. Now listen, John. Give me a few minutes to try to talk some sense into you. I know you think you're doing your job, John, and I can appreciate that, but you're just dragging this thing out. Now look, no one gets out of here until these guys can talk to the L.A. police, and that just ain't gonna happen until you stop messing up the works, capiche?
Ellis, what have you told them?
I told them we were old friends and you were my guest at the party.
Ellis, you shouldn't be doing this.
Tell me about it.
A man brings Ellis a glass and a can of Coke.
All right, John, listen.
They want you to tell them what the detonators are. They know people are listening. They want the detonators or they're gonna kill me.
Ellis grins and holds up a thumb.
John, didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, John, I think you could get with the program a little, huh? The police are here now. It's their problem. Now tell these guys where the detonators are so no one else gets hurt. You know, I'm putting my life on the line for you, pal.
Ellis, listen to me very carefully.
John.
Shut up, Ellis. Just shut your mouth. Put Hans back on the line.
Hans, Ellis does not know what kind of man you are, but I do. Listen.
Good. Then you'll give us what we want and save your friend's life. You're not part of this equation. It's time you realized that.
Hey, what am I, a method actor, Hans?
Babe, put away the gun. This is radio, not television.
John. John.
Where are my detonators? Where are they, or should I shoot another one?
Did you hear that? He just let the guy die, man. He just gave him up.
I don't think so, sir.
He did everything he could to save him. If he gave himself up, they'd both be dead right now.
No way, man. No way. They'd be talking to us. Listen, you tell this partner of yours, pal, to stay the hell out of this from now on. Do you hear me? Because if he doesn't, I'm going
to
nail him.
Are you going to stand there and tell me that he's going to give a damn about what you do to him if he makes it out of there alive? Why don't you wake up and smell what you're shoveling?
You listen to me, Sergeant. Anytime you want to go home, you consider yourself dismissed.
No, sir. You couldn't drag me away.
Attention, police. Attention, police.
This is Sergeant Al Power.
Wait a minute.
This is Deputy Chief Dwayne Robinson. Who is this?
This is Hans Gruber. I assume you realize the futility of direct action against me. We have no wish for further loss of life.
Well, what is it you do wish for, Mr. Gruber?
I have comrades in arms around the world languishing in prison. The American State Department enjoys rattling its saber for its own ends. Now I can rattle it for me.
Ellis's body still sits.
The following people are to be released from their captors. In Northern Ireland, the 7 members of the new Provo Front. In Canada, the 5 imprisoned leaders of Liberté de Québec. In Sri Lanka, the 9 members of the Asian Dawn. When these revolutionary brothers and sisters are free, the hostages in this building will be taken to the roof, and they will accompany us in helicopters to the Los Angeles International Airport, where they will be given further instructions. You have 2 hours to comply.
Wait a minute. Mr. Gruber, this is crazy. I don't have the authority. I can't authorize. 2 hours is not enough. Hello? Danny, did you get all that? Let's go. We got to make some calls.
Theo, are we on schedule?
One more to go, then it's up to you. And you better be right, because it looks like this last one's going to take a miracle.
It's Christmas, Theo. It's the time of miracles, so be of good cheer and call me when you hit the last lock.
Did you catch that boot Hans was running?
Doesn't make sense, man.
Hey, don't ask me, man. I'm just a desk jockey who was on my way home when you rang.
Well, you drove that car. I figured you for the street, Al.
In my youth.
No, darling. Asian Dawn. Dawn. D-A-W-N.
Sir?
Yeah.
Sir, the FBI is here.
Oh, the FBI is here now?
Yes, sir, right over there.
Hold this.
Robinson hands him the phone.
Want a breath, man?
Robinson hurries to 2 men, one black, one white, wearing dark suits.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm Agent Johnson. This is Special Agent Johnson.
Oh, how you doing?
No relation.
I'm Dwayne Robinson, LAPD. I'm in charge here.
Not anymore.
In the machine room, Hans checks the ceiling with a flashlight, following strung cable. He walks to 2 cooling units. He puts his gun and flashlight down and steps up. He checks more cable. He jumps down the other side, landing in front of 2 dirty bare feet. Hans looks up to an MP5 barrel.
Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, please, God, no! You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them. No, don't kill me, please! No, please! Don't kill me, please!
Whoa, relax, relax! I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not gonna hurt you.
Oh, God.
What were you looking for?
I managed to get out of there, Al. I was just trying to get up on the roof, Al. See if I could signal for help, you know. It's just from here. Why don't you come in and help?
Hold.
No, we don't.
Forget the roof.
Come on.
Forget the roof. I got people all over. Come on, you want to stay alive, you stay with me.
Hans narrows his eyes. Outside.
Well, the best way we can figure it is we've got maybe 30 or 35 hostages up there, probably on the 30th floor, and maybe, 7 or 8 terrorists up there.
Sounds like an A7 scenario.
Thank you. We'll handle it from here. When we commandeer your men, we'll try and let you know.
Aren't you forgetting something?
Such as?
What about John McClane? He's the reason why we have the information we have up until now. He's also the reason why you're facing 7 terrorists instead of 12.
He's inside? Who is he?
Well, he might be a cop. I don't know. We're checking on that.
One of yours?
No way.
On the computer floor.
You smoke?
Yeah. Thanks. You don't work for Nakatomi. And if you're not one of them...
I'm a cop from New York.
New York?
Yeah. Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
Hans looks to John's feet.
Yeah. It's better being caught with your pants down, huh?
John looks to a floor directory.
I'm John McClane. You're,
Clay. Bill, Clay.
John sees Clay, WM.
Know how to use a handgun, Bill?
I spent a weekend at a combat ranch. You know that game with the guns that shoot red paint? Probably seems kind of stupid to you.
Time for the real thing, Bill.
Hans accepts the Beretta.
All you gotta do is pull the trigger. Come on.
John walks away. Hans drops the cigarette and puts it out. He pulls out a CB.
33. Stockwerk. Kommt. Sofort. Put down the gun and give me my detonators.
Well. Hans.
Put it down now.
It's pretty tricky with that accent. But what do you want with the detonators, Hans? I already used all the explosives. But did I?
I'm going to count to three.
Yeah. Like you did with Takagi. Oops. No bullets. You think I'm stupid, Hans?
You're saying?
Carl and his partners rush out of the elevator. John shoots the long-haired one. He runs past an enclosed office and jumps into another one. Carl's other partner runs forward. Lying down, John shoots his knees out. The man flies forward, breaking through a piece of glass. Hans dives and grabs the dead man's MP5 and rolls behind a printer. John pins Carl down behind a desk. Hans sees broken glass pile around the dead man.
Carl. She's Stimfenster. Shoot the glass.
John tosses his empty MP5 away. John sees the floor carpeted with broken glass. Carl slides a flashbang grenade along the floor. Carl tips his desk over, his eyes darting. Hans goes to a bag on the floor.
Smile, Carl. You're back in business.
You got something. Tell me you got something.
In the news van.
It's just McLean's name, badge number, employment record, vital statistics, and his family's home address. Right here in L.A.
In the courtyard, Hans tosses the bag to Yuli.
Good work.
Got it.
Holly and Jenny watch Carl stalk to a bar and smash it with his AUG.
God, that man looks really pissed.
He's still alive.
What?
Only John can drive somebody that crazy.
Hans, you better heat up that miracle because we just broke through on number 6 and the electromagnetic came down.
Brother, have a look at what our friends outside are doing, and I'll be right up.
In a bathroom, John sits on the counter.
Hey, John. John McClane, you still with us?
Yeah. But all things being equal, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Chalk up 2 more bad guys.
Well, the boys down here will be glad to hear that. You know we got a pool going on you.
What kind of odds am I getting?
You don't want to know.
Put me down for 20. I'm good for it.
John pulls glass from his foot.
Hey, pal. You got flat feet?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Something had to get you off the street.
What's the matter? You don't think jockeying papers across a desk is a noble effort for a cop?
No.
I had an accident.
Waiting drive, I can see why. What'd you do? Run over your captain's foot with the car.
I shot a kid.
He was 13 years old. Oh, it was dark. I couldn't see him. He had a ray gun look real enough.
You know, when you're a rookie, they can teach you everything about being a cop except how to live with a mistake.
Anyway, I just couldn't bring myself to draw my gun on anybody again.
The LAPD is not calling the shots down here anymore.
Feds?
You got it.
All right, those are the city engineers. They're going into the street circus. And those guys in the suits, I don't know who they are.
That's the FBI. They're ordering the others to cut the building's power. Regular as clockwork.
Or a time lock.
Precisely. The circuits that cannot be cut are cut automatically in response to a terrorist incident. You ask for miracles, dear. I give you the FBI.
I want the building out!
Doc,
stay out!
You don't understand. You can't do it from here.
Yeah, you could.
It can't be done from here.
I got the rate.
We can't do it from down here, I'm telling you. It's got to be done from downtown. They've got to take out a whole city grid. We're talking 10 square blocks.
10 blocks, Jim?
Yeah.
Johnson, that's crazy. It's Christmas Eve, man. There's thousands of people.
You have to go wider.
Look,
hey, lose the grid or you lose your job.
Yeah, Central?
Yeah?
Yeah, this is Walt down at Nakatomi. Say, listen, would it be possible for you to turn off grid 212?
Are you crazy?
Maybe I should call the mayor on this.
So I got a big problem down here. Shut it down. Shut it down now.
Emergency lighting activated.
Pal, talk to me. What's going on here?
Ask the FBI. They got the universal terrorist playbook, and they're running it step by step.
It's gonna go. It's gonna go!
Stare at the open vault.
Merry Christmas.
In the vault, Theo opens boxes.
Shotgun.
man admires Takagi's collected armor and paintings. A news van speeds away from Nakatomi.
Well, what are we gonna do now? Arrest them for not paying their electric bill?
We've shut them down. We let them sweat for a while, then we give them helicopters.
This is Agent Johnson. No, the other one. I want that air support ready to lift off in 5 minutes. Damn right, fully armed. We're on the way.
In the vault, Theo riffles through a stack of bearer bonds.
I wish to talk to the FBI.
This is Special Agent Johnson of the FBI.
The State Department has arranged for the return of your comrades.
Helicopters are en route, as you requested.
I hear you. We'll be ready.
Time he figures out what hit him, they'll be in a body bag.
When they touch down, we'll blow the roof. They'll spend a month sifting through the rubble, and by the time they figure out what went wrong, we'll be sitting on a beach, earning 20%.
In the bathroom, John's dirtied undershirt is wrapped around his left foot. Newspapers are soaked with blood beneath it.
Pal. Yo, pal, you got a minute?
I'm here, John.
Listen, man, I'm starting to get a bad feeling up here.
Elf. John? John?
What are you doing upstairs, Hans?
John!
No, Al, listen. Listen, just lay off for a while. I gotta go check on something.
At Holly's house.
That's all I'm asking. One minute just to speak.
No,
all right, okay, all right. Get back.
No, por favor, señor.
All right.
No, esta.
Look, you let me in right now or I call the INS. Comprende? Look, this is the last time these kids are going to have to speak to their parents. All right.
In the machine room. John limps between the cooling units.
What are you doing, Hans? What are you doing?
John looks up and sees the yellow cables. He finds a pipe and pulls himself up to see a shelf covered with wired C4. Carl's gun barrel depresses John's cheek.
John, come in. Did you get that?
Some about a double cross.
Tell me about it.
We're both professional. This is personal.
Carl stomps the radio. John knocks Carl's gun up and punches him. John runs him into piled oil drums and punches furiously. Carl blocks a punch and hits John off his feet. He kicks John in the face. Above LA, two copters fly.
They're coming!
In Holly's office.
Choppers are coming.
Okay. Time to gather your flock, Miss Gennaro.
You know, your mom and dad are very important people. They're very brave people. So is there something you'd like to say to them if they're watching?
Come home.
Hans sees Holly stare at the TV. He raises the portrait to see John smiling with her.
Mrs. McLean. How nice to make your acquaintance.
On your feet, everyone, to the roof. Lock them up there and come right back.
Hans grabs Holly by her arm. Upstairs, spittle falls from John's face. Carl kicks him down. John raises his head and sees his Beretta a few feet away. Carl sidesteps and kicks John again. John gets up. Carl stuns him. Carl jumps forward and kicks John. They fall onto a pile of pipes. John wrestles Carl down, banging his head on the pipes and punching the back of his neck.
Did it hurt your brother, Squill?
In a helicopter.
What do you figure? The breakage!
Figure we take out the terrorists, lose 20-25% of the hostages. Tops!
I can live with that! Keep this thing on the deck! They're expecting transports, not gunships.
At the two-story stairs. In the vault.
A little bonus for us,
please. Sit down.
Sit down.
Hey! A policeman's wife might come in handy. McLean, I have some news for you. McLean.
Upstairs. John knocks Carl toward the gun. Carl picks it up and aims. John runs to a door. The shot grazes John's right shoulder. On the pad. Hair disheveled, Carl staggers in holding the gun. John kicks and dives on Carl. They fall onto a dolly. In the vault, Theo pulls out a black box with an antenna.
On the truck?
Truck.
Theo runs out. Hans continues to pile bear bonds in black bags.
After all your posturing, all your little speeches, you're nothing but a common thief.
I am an exceptional thief, Mrs. McLean. And since I'm moving up to kidnapping, you should be more polite.
Upstairs. Carl kicks John onto the two-story stair. John blocks his chop.
I'll kill you. I'm gonna cook you.
The two climb the stairs grappling. John reaches for a hanging chain and wraps it around Carl's neck. John pushes him over the railing and pulls on another chain. A pulley slides on a track, pulling the dangling Carl. John grabs his gun, checks the mag, and gets up. Carl's body spins slowly.
I don't like this, Sarge.
In the helicopter. On the pad, Yuli runs down the stairs. He opens the door. John shoots him and grabs an MP5.
Where's Holly? Where's Holly Gennaro? Holly Gennaro, where's Holly? Where's Holly? Where is she?
They took her!
Where?
The vault!
Where is the vault?
The 30th floor! Up the stairs! They just took her!
Get downstairs, all of you! The whole roof is wired to blow!
They made us, Bureau. You got a terrorist shooting.
I see it. Bank left.
They see John shooting up in the sky.
Now that sucker!
John stops firing and runs right off the pad.
Swing around again!
At the two-story stair, the hostages scramble downstairs, past Carl's hanging body. On the roof, John grabs a fire hose and unwinds it to the roof's edge. He ties the hose around his waist.
Oh, John, what are you doing?
In the courtyard.
There's something wrong. They're coming back down.
Blow the roof.
The car's up there.
Blow the roof.
promise I will never
even think about going up in a tall building again.
Please don't let me die.
Han sets the trigger. The white Johnson takes aim. John jumps off. Hans blows the bomb. From far away, fire engulfs the Nakatomi roof. The helicopter is consumed. The fire hose wheel breaks free and slams against the roof edge. John's foot smears blood on the window. He pushes off and shoots the window. The wheel comes over the edge. John crashes through. The wheel plummets down. John is pulled toward the window. He struggles with the hose. He unties it at the edge. Courtyard. John stands waist high in a fountain. The helicopter falls and explodes. John ducks underwater.
We're gonna need some more FBI guys, I guess.
John walks out of the fountain. In the garage, Argyle sees Theo lower tracks from the black truck, then put on a sky blue bodysuit. Argyle sits up and sees an ambulance drive down the tracks. Outside the vault.
What are you gonna do? Sit here while the building falls down around your ears?
Hey, listen to me! I'm Mustang!
John checks his magazine. It's empty.
Hang on, honey. Oh, God.
John empties his Beretta. He has two bullets. He sees a cart full of packing tape. In the garage, Argyle creeps the limo around the truck. Theo backs the ambulance into a ramp. He opens the door and sees the limo. Theo closes the door and falls back. Argyle runs out and punches Theo, cracking his lens. Argyle shakes his hand, smiling. In the vault.
Allez, vite!
John punches a young man, spilling bear bonds on the floor. John limps in with his MP5 on his hip. Hans pulls out a gun and grabs Holly.
Hi, honey.
Hans pulls Holly back into the vault. Eddie moves behind a cart with an MP5 hanging. John limps in.
Is that what this is all about? Your robbery?
Put down the gun.
Why'd you have to nuke the whole building, Hans?
Well, when you steal $600, you can't just disappear. When you steal $600 million, they will find you unless they think you're already dead. Put down the gun.
Mine, this is mine.
John puts his hands behind his head.
You got me.
Still the cowboy. Mr. McLean, Americans all alike. Well, this time John Wayne does not walk off into the sunset with Grace Kelly.
It's Gary Cooper.
Enough jokes.
You'd have made a pretty good cowboy yourself, Hans.
Oh, yes. What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay.
Ha,
Holly knits her brow. Hans takes aim. Holly elbows Hans. John shoots Hans. Then Eddie. John blows the tip of his gun.
Happy trails, Hans.
Hans, still holding Holly, breaks through a window pane. Al looks up to see Hans hanging out the window. John grabs at Holly's watch. Hans's thumb lies over the strap. In slow motion, Hans looks up. He raises his gun. John undoes the latch on Holly's watch. Hans's eyes widen as his grip fails.
That's not a hostage.
Al and Robinson watch Hans fall, limbs flailing. John and Holly cling to each other and kiss. Outside, small fires and rubble litter the plaza. The news van pulls in. John, wearing a firefighter's jacket, walks outside with Holly, who wears a police jacket. Al walks through a throng of police, firefighters, and reporters. He and John stare at each other. Leaning on Holly, John walks forward. He and Al smile. They hug.
Al is my wife, Holly. Holly Gennaro.
Holly McClain.
Hello, Holly. You got yourself a good man. You take good care of him.
McClain? Yeah, it's okay. I want a debriefing. You got some things to answer for, mister.
That's right. Ellis was murdered for one thing. Property damage, interfering with police business.
Carl throws off a blanket and aims his gun at John. John pushes Holly down and covers her. A police revolver fires. Carl staggers and falls. Al stares down his gun barrel. John looks up.
All right, all the two of you go inside, see if there's anybody else.
Yes, sir. I'll take your left.
The limo runs through the exit barricade. Al turns quickly. John grabs Al's gun.
Was with me.
Holly and John walk toward the limo. Smiling, Al holsters his gun.
Mr. McClain, Mr. McClain, now that it's all over after this incredible ordeal, what are your feelings?
Holly punches Thornburg.
Merry Christmas, old dog. Merry Christmas.
Get that?
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Inside the limo, John and Holly kiss.
Oh, the weather outside.
Argyle gets inside and drives the smashed limo off. So video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.